Go ahead.
Yeah, did you as a Westerner ever have any difficulties in meeting Ajahn Chah in either with Buddhism or with Thailand, and how did that get resolved, or did it get resolved?
That's last night. It was Saturday night at the monastery, and because we give a talk every Saturday night, and because I've been steeping myself in sort of Ajahn Chah and reviewing, so last night's Dhamma talk was about Ajahn Chah, and as we're riding the truck up the hill, there was Ajahn Kurunadhamma said, "Oh, you got to tell that story at Spirit Rock tomorrow." So there's an opening. Yes, there was a time when I was I'd probably been about four rains retreats at that time, so still quite a young monk. Yeah, lots of opinions, lots of views. And then there was one morning a city monk and a lay person showed up at the monastery, and the monk, I had met him before, and yeah, I had my views and opinions about him. I didn't like him particularly. And so then he'd brought this Swedish journalist to the monastery, and he was working for some spiritual journal, and he was going around Asia asking various spiritual teachers just three questions. And then so he's talking to me and saying this is what he wants to ask Ajahn Chah, and he wants to ask Ajahn Chah, why do you practice? How do you practice? What results do you get from the practice? And, which are actually quite good questions. And it actually gives an opening. But of course, my own views and opinions were such that I sort of grumbling and complaining inside myself about this particular person. And then after the meal, we went over to meet Ajahn Chah, and sitting down and talking to him. So I had to act as translator, I was the one who was around at that point that had enough language to translate. So they came and met with Ajahn Chah, explained, and so then I translated, but of course there's this internal dialogue going that I translated the questions for Ajahn Chah, and then he just sort of started talking about something else. And then he after a while, he goes back and forth, back and forth, and then he turns to me and says, "Did they ask some questions?" I goes, "Yeah." And I said, "What were those questions again?" So I go, "Okay, why do you practice? How do you practice? What results do you get from the practice?" I say, "Oh, okay." And he starts talking about something else. And of course, this goes on another couple, three times. And I feel he's really putting the screws on me. And then it comes again. I said, what were those? They've asked some questions. Has somebody got some paper and some pencil? You should write those questions down. And so novice goes off, gets a paper and a pencil, and come back. And say, and then he gets, okay, what was that first question? Okay, why do you practice? Okay, what was that second question? I'm sitting there translating. Okay. And what was it? Okay, what results do you get from the practice? Okay. And then he looks up and looks at the thing. Why do you eat? And then the person is, because this whole sort of scenario has been going on, he's sort of taken aback. And he's not quite sure. No, why do you eat? And he's not quite sure. And then the monk sort of steps in. No, he wants an answer. He doesn't want a question. He wants an answer. He said, why do you eat? He said, really, this is the essence of spiritual practice. I mean, we eat because we've got the suffering of hunger. And in the same way, we practice because of the suffering of existence. And we're looking for a way out. We're looking for a way to solve that suffering of our hunger, of truth, the hunger for peace, the hunger for knowledge. And that's why we practice. And he said, when we really understand, that's what we're doing. We really see that clearly. He said, that's when we'll start to figure out how we practice. We'll look for ways to practice. We'll find ways to practice. He said, what happens when you eat food that's nourishing? You're full. You feel complete. You don't have that suffering of hunger anymore. And that's the result you get from practice. The suffering is finished. And so it's just that very, very direct and simple direction to that which could have been very speculative. And so that's quite a flavor of Ajahn Chah's teaching. And then also, sometimes putting the screws on his disciples and highlighting their foibles and their stupidity.